if that doesn't get you going, you need some more coffee. What a great way to start worship today as we come and enjoy this second week of Advent together. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity and delighted to welcome you this morning to worship. If it's your first time with us, we're especially glad to have you as our guest today. I hope that you will let us know you are here today, whether you're here for the first time or here all the time. And you can do that by filling out the connection card that is in your bulletin. Also in your bulletin, you'll find lots of information about things that are happening in the life of Trinity. A lot of really neat things going on this time of year, especially as we celebrate the Advent season. So pay attention to those opportunities and find ones that may be of particular interest to you. One thing that's in your bulletin that I want to make sure I mention this morning is our mission box. For today, it is for Kids Count. And many of you know that Kids Count has been an important ministry partner with Trinity for quite some time now. And so this is an opportunity for you to help support that work. One of the sites of Kids Count is at our Faith Mission campus over in the northeastern part of town. So please today take advantage of that opportunity. As you leave, you'll find mission boxes at each of the doors where you can make an offering. And there also is a table set up out in the Welcome Center area where some folks will be available who are involved in Kids Count and can tell you more about that ministry if you'd like to get to know more or perhaps get involved yourself. So, again, welcome. Glad that you are here. Why don't you take a moment now and stand up and say good morning to somebody close to you as we get ready to worship. Welcome home!
Please stand, remain standing and let us worship God together with our opening hymn this morning, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
The season of Advent creates an atmosphere of expectation. Something new is happening. Good news is on the way.
See John the Baptist in the wilderness, announcing, "Here comes the kingdom of heaven."
Could it be that God is coming to reign on earth as in heaven?
Yes, God's reign has already begun, and in the coming of Jesus and in his return, it will find fulfillment.
Come, Lord Jesus, and make us ready for your return. Amen.
thank you, Cain family, for lighting our Advent candles this morning. We have the privilege now to enter into a time of prayer with and for one another. And as we go into this time of prayer, I just want to acknowledge, I know during this season, we all bring to these through these doors of joys and concerns of our own, and we'll have a moment of sacred silence as we enter into prayer where you can invite, or where you're invited to offer your petitions to God. I also would like you to keep these folks in your prayers that you see on the screen before you. These are people our care team are providing for who are in need of God's healing grace, and your prayers mean so much. And then I would also ask that you continue to keep the people of Tennessee in your prayers as they continue to recover from the fires that have happened there this past week. Lots of deeply affected areas, and the firefighters are still working very hard, so let us keep them in our prayers. Now let us go into a holy moment together and go to God in prayer. Emmanuel, God with us, we are gathered together on this second Sunday in the holy season of Advent, a grateful people. Grateful for your relentless love and unfailing grace that took on flesh and came to us in the person of Jesus Christ and continues to pursue us through his life-giving Spirit. As we worship you this morning with our hymns of praise, our prayers, hearing your word read and proclaimed in communion around your table, mold us and shape us into a people of expectation. Make us expectant for the comings of Christ, the source of our hope, who brought peace into this world. Be the peace that dwells between us, we pray, so that in a world in dire need for peace, we might be your instruments of peace. Sowing love where there is hatred, revealing hope where there is despair, and bringing joy where there is sadness. This Advent, may we discover anew how to be the hands and feet of Christ for a watching world, and what it truly means to make and grow disciples. We offer these prayers, we offer our very lives, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
As you remain seated, please join us in singing two verses of our prayer song today, What Child Is This?
Oh, man.
enter into this time of worship where we can give back to God from what He has given us through our tithes and offerings, I'd like to ask that you remember your commitment cards for 2017. I first want to thank all of you who have turned those in already. We're very, very excited to be partnering with you as we look ahead to the year in front of us, and also ask those of you who have not yet turned in your commitment cards to consider doing so, so that we might plan for the year of ministry that we share together. As members of the church, it's part of what we do in our covenant to combine the resources of our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness to respond to God's call for the ministries of the church. And so, ushers, would you please come now to collect our offering this morning, and as they come, I will pray. Gracious God, you sent your Son Jesus to lead us in wisdom and mercy, and His kindness to the poor and meek reveals the harmony of your heavenly kingdom. Help our church's ministries make your love real in the world. We dedicate our tithes and offerings to bless people in our community and beyond who are searching for Christ's abiding peace. We pray in His matchless name.
Good morning, I'm Maddie, and today Sunlight's musical offering will be Grown Up Christmas List by Amy Grant. As the Christmas festivities are already in full swing here at Trinity, I've gotten the opportunity to spend time with many of the children from this church, asking them what they hope to receive from Santa. I've gotten every answer from, I don't know, to a full-fledged, a puppy! Well, as we age, so does our Christmas list, and in regards to the artists of this song, their grown-up Christmas list is one centered around the brokenness in the world and keeping them into it. Because that's not really something that can be wrapped and placed under a tree, sometimes we undermine these goals and our fixation on them fades, as does our hope for a potential cure. I think that's what's so amazing about being among the children and witnessing the uncontainable excitement they'll hold for the next 20 days, the unwavering belief in a jolly old man who will come to fulfill all of their dreams, and the joyful anticipation filling them into it. This phenomenon is referred to in the lyrics as the innocence of youth, saying maybe it's only in our blind belief that we will ever find the truth. Our blind belief. Maybe it is outrageous to believe in the healing of our world as we find ourselves in such a rut of brokenness, but I'm sure that's what they thought in Bethlehem too. And I can only imagine how hard it was to blindly believe that the healing had come in the form of a small infant born in me. In these weeks of Advent, may we look to the children around us for examples of pure belief. While He might not arrive by sleigh, we can come together in joyful anticipation of the one whose love is eager to heal. And now, to me is Noelle Murphy.
Thank you, Sunlight, for leading us in worship and reminding us of the best Christmas list that we could wish for. This morning we continue looking at our worship series, A Strange Way to Save the World. That God sometimes does save the world in ways that we could never even imagine, beyond our wildest imaginations. And we hear a vision for that from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is in the Old Testament, a little bit farther than halfway back in your Bibles if you have them with you. Past the Psalms and look for Isaiah. It's a thicker book, so it's easier to find. And I'm reading from the 11th chapter. Again, it is Isaiah's vision of a new and different world that we anticipate with the coming again. First the coming and then the coming again of Christ. Isaiah says, "A shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse. A branch will sprout from his roots. The Lord's Spirit will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of planning and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in fearing the Lord. He won't judge by appearances, nor decide by hearsay. He will judge the needy with righteousness and decide with equity for those who suffer in the land. He will strike the violent with the rod of his mouth. By the breath of his lips, he will kill the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt around his hips, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together. A lion will eat straw like an ox, a nursing child will play over the snake's hole. Toddlers will reach right over the serpent's den. They won't harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain. The earth will surely be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, just as the water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations will seek him out, and his dwelling will be glorious." This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you to bow your heads this morning and pray for me in sharing this message with you as I pray for you in this evening. Let's pray together. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On Monday, a young man drove his car into pedestrians on Ohio State's campus and proceeded to get out of the car and stab 11 people before the police came and he was killed. On Monday also, we were reminded of the terrible Charleston church shooting as a judge declared that the accused shooter was competent to be able to represent himself in the trial. On Thursday, we learned that in Aleppo, more than 600 people had been killed since Saturday. So, you know, when we hear that vision in Isaiah, that vision of a new ruler and a new reality, kind of sounds like a pipe dream, you know? Sounds like something that couldn't possibly ever happen in our world. Sounds like a grown-up Christmas list. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. The cow and the bear will graze, and their young shall live together. They will not hurt or destroy all on my holy mountain. For the earth will be as full of the knowledge of the Lord. Full of the knowledge of the Lord. That's not head knowledge. That means as full of living the way of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know what we mean when we say, when pigs fly? Well, I think if we listen to that vision, we could often say, when pigs fly, right? You know, because pigs will never fly. And so we say, when pigs fly, then we mean, of course, that time will never come. Based on the world as we see it now, our response to this passage could easily be, when pigs fly. And people probably felt the same way about Isaiah when he first shared this vision. You know, the prophet Isaiah was probably writing when the Assyrians had almost completely destroyed the nation of Israel. Israel had been chopped down like the big trees of Lebanon had been chopped down. When I think of that image, I see an image of clear-cutting. You guys know what that looks like. And that's how it was. The nation of Israel had just been clear-cut. Everything was gone and destroyed. And Isaiah says the family tree of Jesse. Now, Jesse was the father of King David. And Jesse had many sons. And the family of Jesse, the family tree, had just been chopped down to a stump. The roots were still there, but there was nothing. Cut off at the knees. And right during that time, when all of this horrible stuff is happening, that's when Isaiah lifts up this vision. And he says, a root shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. See that little sprout that's just coming up out of the top of that stump? That's the vision that Isaiah has. Or something new that would happen. The people are thinking, the people of Israel are thinking, yeah, right, when pigs fly. But Isaiah goes on to share with them that as a new leader, this new leader will come and be filled with the Spirit. Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And here, rest means that it will stay forever with him. The Spirit of the Lord will stay forever with this new ruler. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, and he will not judge by hearsay, but with righteousness he will judge. You know, when I think about people not judging by just what they hear or by just what they see. I think about children. You know, after all, this passage does say, and a little child will lead them. And you know, children just look at things differently. They have a kind of innocence, and they don't judge by what they see or by what they hear. They evaluate with their hearts. They let their hearts lead them. You know, children will walk up to any dog, it doesn't matter, and want to pet that dog because they're naturally trusting. And children on Christmas morning are filled with wonder and awe, and they could care less probably about the presents that their parents have carefully researched and purchased for them. The infants are just more interested in the paper and the bones. That's how children are. A child will not look at things like the rest of us do. Children don't see race, and they don't see ethnicity, and they don't see economic levels. Children just see people. When they're young, they'll say, oh, the person with the yellow hair, or the person with the brown hair. It's not until they are taught by our society that they begin to see color and ethnicity and other distinctions between us. You know, it might be good for us to remember again the advice from Robert Fulghum. You remember who he is? The guy who said, all I really need to know about how to live and who to be, I learned in kindergarten. These are some of his learnings. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. When you go out in the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. And remember when you read your first book and the first word you learned, it was the biggest word of all. Look. Look. How would it be different if we really looked at the world through the eyes of a child? You know, the Hebrew word for prophet comes from the same root word as the verb to see. The prophets, like Isaiah, could see a vision for the future that other people couldn't see. Perhaps we're often so blinded by the current realities of our world that we fail to see things from a new perspective, from a different perspective. Maybe we should let the children lead us. You know, what would it really look like if we all looked at the world through the eyes of a child about 3 feet high? The world would look a bit different than it does to us. What would it mean to judge the world like children do? Children who hope all things and believe all things and trust in all things. We might think it's absurd when pigs fly, but perhaps we should let the little children lead us. There's a wonderful Christmas story. It's an operetta written by Giancarlo Minotti, and it's called Amahl and the Night Visitors. I saw it for the very first time actually here many years ago at the Gainesville Community Playhouse. And it's the story of three kings on their way to Bethlehem. And these kings stop at the house of Amahl, a poor crippled boy who lives with his widowed mother. And Amahl looks at the world in a different way. He's a little boy and he just sees the world in a different way. And his mother gets really wearied by it. She says, oh, Amahl, when will you stop telling lies? All day long you wander about in a dream. Here we are with nothing to eat, not a stick of wood for the fire, not a drop of oil in the jug, and all you do is worry your mother with fairy tales. But Amahl persists, but there's a star, Mom. Hanging over the roof, there is a star as large as the window. And the star has a tail, and it moves across the sky like a chariot of fire. Later, when the kings do come, they tell Amahl's mother where the star is leading them. Oh, woman, the child we seek doesn't need our gold. He will build his kingdom on love alone. His hand will not hold a scepter. His head will not wear a crown. He will not be built by your toil. And the mother rushes forward and kneels before the king. And she says, I've waited all my life for such a king. And if I weren't so poor, I would send a gift of my own to this child. What would it mean for us to look at the world through the eyes of a child? We might not be so skeptical. We might be less likely to say, oh, when pigs fly. We might be able to begin to at least begin to see Isaiah's vision of a new world and a different future. You know, children look at the world differently, and perhaps we should let a child lead us. I remember it was just a couple of days after September 11th, 2001, and I was having a conversation with our daughter, Shelby Hart. I had been horrified by the events that had taken place and really tried to shield her from it. All of a sudden, the world that she woke up in and would grow up in was a completely different place. But a couple of nights later, she had learned about what had happened, and she was asking me about it. And she said, Mommy, why did those men do that? We sat there at her bedside in the darkness together. She said, I don't know, baby. I don't know. She said, and they died too? I said, yes, they did. And she said, Mommy, I wish they were still alive. I was trying to figure out where her little 7-year-old mind was going. I said, why? Why do you wish that they were still alive? She said, because if they were still alive, Mommy, we could change them. I said, what do you mean? She said, if they were still alive, we could invite them to church, and we could love them, and we could change them. Only through the eyes of a child. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling will live together, and a little child will lead them. Shelby Hart could see something that I couldn't see, that I couldn't even begin to imagine, that it could be different, that we could change them, that horrible tragedy might have been averted if something or someone had been able to impact their lives. Now, Isaiah had a vision as well. He could see something that others couldn't even begin to imagine. He saw a new reality, a new age, in which the crooked would be made straight and the rough places plain. A place where the humble would be wise and the wise would be humbled. A place where the desert would burst into blossoms and wine would run down the mountains. A place where divine strength and divine humility would meet. A place, a child, in whom justice and peace would dwell together. A child in whom both the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God would live together. A child 2,000 years ago. We find Stephen and I lived in Atlanta about 25 years ago. We had some good friends, James and Martha. And Martha grew up in a small town outside of Atlanta, and she had very fond memories of going to downtown Atlanta at Christmas time. And so she planned a weekend for us. It was a big weekend away, especially for poor seminary students. So we were going to go downtown and see the Nutcracker on Friday night and spend the night at a hotel and then on Saturday go shopping at Rich's department store. And I think now it's Macy's or something, but anyway. And then we were going to culminate the day with a ride on the Pink Pig. Now, Steve and I had no idea what the Pink Pig was, but Martha was excited about it, and so we were game. So we went down to Atlanta, and on Saturday morning, we got up and went to Rich's, and we shopped for a couple of hours. And then Martha said, okay, now we're going to take the elevator up to the roof, and we're going to ride the Pink Pig. So we got on the elevator, and, you know, everybody else on the elevator had young children. And there we were, the four of us, young adults, riding the elevator up. We rode the elevator up and then got off and then had to go up one flight of stairs on our own. And then we were on top of the richest department store in downtown Atlanta. And then there it was, the Pink Pig, suspended from this track that would ride all around the roof. And there were actually two pig cars. One was Percival, and one was Priscilla. And so Martha and James got in Percival, and Steve and I got in Priscilla. Now, what you might know is those are really little cars. And for Steve, who's 6'4", to get into one of those little teeny cars, his knees were up to his chin. See? They're little cars. They're little cars. But there, Steve and I, and we're crammed into this little Pink Pig. And it's night, and the tree is lit on the roof of Rich's, and we can look out, and we can see downtown Atlanta. As we looked out the windows of that Pink Pig and saw the lights, it looked like everything was right with the world. It really was as if pigs could fly. Years ago, and let that child lead us toward a vision where maybe pigs can fly. Let's pray together. Oh God, when we look around at our world, the death and the war and the tragedy and the loneliness and the lostness all around us. When we're hurting in our own lives, when we feel broken or damaged, oh God, help us to see a vision of a new reality that only you can give. We celebrate the birth of the Christ child, and we anticipate his coming again. Help us to grab hold of that new reality and embrace it with the trust and wonder of a child. Because who knows when he takes the hand of love? By the power Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. To all of us who long for that day when the wolf and the lamb will live together, who long to come down and come to Christ's table, bringing our grown-up Christmas list filled with the hope of innocence. And yet we're keenly aware, especially at Advent, that we need the Holy Spirit to wash over us again, opening our hearts with wide-eyed wonder so that we can see the evidence of God's kingdom unfolding all around us. And open up our ears to hear the good news that Christ has come and He is coming again. To you I say, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send empty away. Your Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on the cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, and he broke it, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now, as children of a loving Father who gives us great hope, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite all those who are going to be helping us serve communion to go ahead and come forward now and stand in front of the stations where you'll be serving, and we'll bring those elements to you. Welcome to come and receive at Christ's table. You do not have to be a member of this church or any church. You simply have to come from the prompting of the Holy Spirit to receive all that God has for you this morning. As you do, we're going to ask that you come, beginning with the front row and moving back, and exit towards the left of your aisle. Come forward. We'll use intinction to share communion today. That means we're going to tear off a piece of bread and give it to you, and you dip it into the cup, and you can consume that. You're welcome to pray at the kneeling rails here. You're welcome to return to your seat and sing or pray or meditate. But come and receive and be filled with the hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. All is ready.
Thank you.
Closing today is a setting of the hymn "Sing We Now of Christmas" and invites us to sing. And our summer student Olivia Bryant is going to lead us in this song. Please stand up and sing "We Now of Christmas."
Sing we know of the
with wonder and love and trust. And as you go, remember that the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit is with you. And who knows? Maybe pigs can fly.